If you're just joining us, you are on the fourth day of SMARTEST 2008 and the second day of our keynote presentations with Mark Silver and Alita DeWall. We have artists joining us from across America and the world. We have the Netherlands represented, Germany, Australia, Ireland, Mexico, Spain. And please, if I've left out your country, let me know. I am Ariane Goodwin, your host and moderator for this one and only professional art career conference, online or off. If you want to keep up with what we're up to, visit us at www.smartest-telesummit.com, and SMARTEST is spelled SMARTEST-TELESUMMIT. I've posted on the SmartWorks 2008 forum about asking questions, so go there and take a look. This is day three, SMARTEST TeleSummit 2008, and we're going to hear two presenters with a 15-minute break in between. Mark Silver will start, and Alita DeWall will finish. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm always nervous as whenever I'm ready to present something I care about, but I'm excited about it.
Well, as all good performers know, nervousness gives you that extra little surge of adrenaline, so that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Today, Mark, the man with a business heart of gold, is going to open our artist world up to an entirely new concept that is actually all the rage in other business models, including SMARTEST. It's about creating strategic alliances that will help sell your art. And I recommend that you give yourselves permission to stretch here. Mark does not come from the art world, and what he offers may take a little tailoring for you to get the right fit. But it is precisely such ideas that SMARTEST is dedicated to bringing into the art community, the ones that slide in from left field. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark's vision is for self-employed people to become profitable with a sustainable business that also allows them to be a beacon of generosity in the fabric of their community. He is the founder of Heart of Business, and we are truly honored to have his perspective today. Mark, I'm going to leave these artists with you. If it sounds like we have a small enough group on the line directly that we could take live questions at the end if you want me to come back a few minutes before and open that up for you.
Sure, I think that'd be great.
Okay. Well, about how much time at the end would you like me to give you?
Let's see, I've got a total of 45 minutes, is that right?
So, yes.
Why don't you come in about, I don't know, about 10 minutes early and we'll see where we are.
Okay, I will. And I'm actually going to go off the line and go on to another line to listen to you, but we won't be able to talk because
okay.
I want to make sure the sound quality stays high for you. Okay?
Okay, great.
All right, great. Artists, Mark, it's all yours.
All right, howdy. Thanks. I'm really pleased to be here. This concept, this idea of strategic alliances that I'm bringing is something that I think is... Let's see, how would I put it? I would put it in this way. If I were to start over my business from scratch and I could only pick one marketing method to use to move forward, this is the one that I would pick because it's been the one that hands down has brought the most inflow into my business, the most connection, the most kind of acceleration of what I've been doing. And it's not a complicated idea. She talked about maybe tailoring it to your business as an artist, but I find that anyone, most of the clients that I work with who happen to be mostly in transformational businesses, businesses where they're really trying to make a difference in the world, they're really bringing their heart and their soul into what they do, that it does take a little bit of a shift sometimes just to open up to some of these ideas. And so don't think that you're outside of the normal genre of the people I talk to. I think that this is completely applicable. When I sat down and brainstormed with Ariana before this, when she was inviting me to come, going, huh, well, what should I present? And this is what naturally bubbled up. I kind of want to start with a very short story, which has to do with when I've gone on different journeys, different vacations. I haven't been a huge world traveler, but I've been to different places, you know. I've been to Europe. I've been around different places in the United States. I've been to Canada, you know, been to these different big cities. And what I've noticed is that every time you go someplace, there's always an area that the guidebooks tell you to go to, right? There's a place where, okay, this is the thing. You know, you go to the Latin Quarter in Paris, you go to, you know, Times Square in New York City, you know, you go to the North End in Boston, or is that North Beach? I always get that confused with San Francisco. You know, you go down to the Marina in San Francisco, you know, you go to different areas, and wherever you go there, it's packed. It's crowded. It's totally wall-to-wall, and it's hard sometimes to really enjoy yourself or get a taste of what's going on or get the full value of what you're interacting with if you stay in those touristed areas. And yet, if you walk sometimes as little as a quarter mile, you know, 2 or 3 minutes walk away from those areas, it quiets down. And suddenly you have a lot of space, and you're on your own, and you get to see and interact with some really charming, beautiful parts of where you are and really get the benefit of it. This is one of the, this is the power of strategic alliances in taking yourself out of the busyness of the marketplace, and especially perhaps in the art world where art is sold in very particular genres, very particular venues, excuse me, and going and finding these little out-of-the-way neighborhoods and finding that you can actually multiply your effectiveness and find people who are really needing what you're doing. They're really needing your art and the presence of your art in their life, and they just needed some help finding it and some connection. And so strategic alliances bring this connection. So today I'm going to be teaching about this, and I'm basically going to be doing, and the structure is I'm going to be covering three main topics in depth. And the first topic, and then we'll go through those, and we'll go through them in depth, and then Ariana will come back, and assuming we have a few minutes at the end, I'm happy to take questions. And so the three main topics we're going to be covering, first, what is a strategic alliance? And understanding that that the most elemental thing about a strategic alliance is that it's when two parties come together to create that proverbial win-win situation. You know, it's not about taking, it's about having a situation where both you and your strategic alliance partner benefits. The second element is, what are the elements of a good strategic alliance? And the three elements that I'll be going in depth into have to do with shared clients, a real focus on your art, and this new concept, what may be a new concept for some of you, creating long-term relationships with people who are interested. And then the third topic that we'll be going into is, how do you approach a potential strategic alliance partner, and about the genuineness and the research and the numbers that you have to be engaged with in order to make it work. So that's where we're going. So why don't we just go ahead and jump in. I always like to take a breath. It's important when jumping into it, especially from something new, to remember that you don't have to do it at a breakneck pace. You don't have to kill yourself doing this. You don't have to push yourself out of your heart to make business work. You know, it's like the same beauty that comes out in your artwork, your business needs that same beauty. It needs that same presence and attention. So this idea may be new, it may be stretching you, but you don't have to apply it tomorrow. You can let it sink in and bring the same creativity to it as you express it out in the world. So the first topic, what is a strategic alliance? So a strategic alliance is when you find someone or some business or some community or some person who has access to clients or their own community or some group of people that your artwork will help benefit their business. Let me give you an example, probably the most common example, although not an ideal one in terms of a strategic alliance, and I'll explain why in a moment. But the most common example that I see around here in Portland is cafe art. We were in a restaurant the other day, and we're sitting at a table, and there's a big painting up on the wall. In fact, there's several paintings up all over the place. And they're beautiful paintings, and they help really bring a lot to the atmosphere of the restaurant. Really, the art really benefits the restaurant. It makes it more pleasant, makes it more enjoyable to be there. It's definitely part of what pulls us in. And yet every single one of those paintings has a little price tag on it, because the restaurant didn't pay for that art. They're displaying the art for the artist, and the artist is hoping that somebody is going to buy it, right, because they've seen it in the restaurant. So this is an example of a strategic alliance. This is the essence of it, is that a strategic alliance is not when some people think, oh, wow, a strategic alliance is when they refer me to their clients and I refer them to my customers. It doesn't have to be that way. The problem with taking that on, with taking strategic alliances on with that kind of tit-for-tat, you refer me, I refer you, is that there's a very limited number of strategic alliances you can take on. Because if you build up 100 strategic alliances and you have all these partners, how in the heck would you ever promote, or how would, you know, even in the realm of doing your artwork, how would you ever refer that many people out to your customers? It doesn't make sense. So the strategic alliance, what's your alliance partner, what you're looking for is you're looking for a place where the art itself is the benefit to the partner. Let me repeat that. The art itself helps the strategic alliance partner. They're not looking for your referrals. They're happy to have your referrals if, you know, you tell all your friends, oh, yeah, my art is up at such and such a location, go take a look. You know, they'll be happy about that. But that's not the primary reason that they're doing it. They're doing it. The restaurant has the art up because it helps the restaurant without them having to spend all this money buying art. So I want to bring that in really clearly, because the strength of the strategic alliance is that you can do many of them. You don't have to do a great big one, and I'll go into this later, that you'll want to do lots of small ones because, you know, that's kind of human scale. That's kind of how things work. And like I said, I'll touch on that in more detail. But so this is the essence. The strategic alliance is, to repeat ad infinitum, ad nauseum, that your art is the benefit to your partner, to the strategic alliance partner. Okay, so moving on from there, let's take a look. What are the elements of a good strategic alliance? So there's some obvious ones here. If you have a strategic alliance with a partner, that one of the most common or the most important element is that you share clients, is that there's a shared focus on the clients, is that there's the clients that tend to buy your art and that you tend to connect with most through the work that you do resonate really strongly are the same types of people that frequent whatever establishment or whatever community or whatever business that you're partnering with. This is a little bit of a new topic or a new concept for some people, because oftentimes what happens is that, especially with the clients that I work with, and I'm imagining it's true for some of you as well, is that we fall in love with what we do. We do. You know, whether you're an artist or a massage therapist or maybe an accountant with a particular flair for what you're doing, or a web designer or a consultant or a retail store, whatever it is you do, you have a passion for it. You love it. And so the focus tends to be on what it is that you do. Even today, when Ariana was welcoming people onto the call at first, she said, okay, tell us your name and your medium. And people are like, oh, yeah, this is what I do. I work in this medium. And what to make this successful requires a shift of focus away from being completely focused on what it is that you do, and beginning to really hold in your heart a space for how does the art affect the clients or the customers who buy your art, and who are the people that you're trying to affect with that? Who are the people that are most going to resonate with that? You know, you may, perhaps your art at this time in your life, or you're in a phase where you're creating art that is particularly soothing or healing. And so the kinds of people who are looking for that are people who are needing a soothing, healing, calming, comforting presence in their life. They're needing to build that. Or maybe you're more active. Maybe your art is at this point, you're in a phase where it's kind of forcing people to an edge of creativity or thinking outside the box or bringing up certain types of discomfort that helps them move into new growth. And so that's going to be a different type of person, somebody in a different phase of their life or having a different need or maybe just a different area of their life. And so having some clarity about what it is that your art does and what it is that you're trying to bring into the world, the presence that you're trying to bring, is going to make a huge difference in identifying strategic partners. So, let me give you an example of this. For instance, one of the strategic partners that Ariana was promoting has to do with Jennifer Hoffman of InspiredHomeOffice.com. She has this e-zine that goes out once a week to people who have small businesses who work in a home office. And at the beginning of every newsletter, she includes a piece of art, a digital representation of a piece of art, and the whole idea that she puts on it, she puts a headline on it that always says every week, soak in the bliss. So she's looking to help her clients feel more blissful, more relaxed, more connected. And so the artwork adds immeasurably to this, to her e-zine. And so she's looking for artists and artwork that bring that kind of energy forward. You know, that bring that sense of bliss or creativity or creative bliss or what have you, that's going to be suitable for a home office environment. So it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. So having that clarity is going to be the first element. It's kind of looking around saying, okay, well, who do you know? What businesses do you know? What communities do you know? What individuals do you know who can come into contact with lots of people that are seeing people that are in alignment with the kind of work that you're doing? Okay, so that's the first element, is this shared clients. Now, the second element has to do with creating a focus on the art. Going back to the cafe example, the problem with the cafe example is that although it can be helpful and it can be successful, I'm imagining that it is, people keep doing it, so I'm imagining there's a certain amount of success, but the art there forms part of the background. It really is. Like, you're not really ever asked in the restaurant to really just stand and really take it in. And this is one of the benefits of going to a gallery, because the gallery have openings, people who go there, they're looking at the art with an idea of purchasing it. And so, naturally, that's a wonderful strategic alliance. The problem is that it's a very, very crowded market to try to get into. Restaurants are perhaps easier to get into, but there's no focus on the art. Then you look at an example like Jennifer Hoffman's, and the art is actually featured. She actually says to the people, the hundreds of people that she's sending this out to, take a moment and look at this art. Soak in the bliss. Before you read my article, relax. Soak in the bliss. So if you can find a strategic alliance partner who really focuses on your art, some of the examples I can think of, just off the top of my head, kind of looking at this, is that let's say you do find, let's say, a massage therapist. And the massage therapist, in preparation for having someone relax and do a massage, says, hey, this artist, I have this artwork from this artist, I want you to just take a moment and contemplate it and let yourself soak into it. Let yourself really take it in. And so he creates this art that is a benefit. It's like it's helping the massage therapist do his or her work by helping the client relax, and it creates a real focus on your art. So these are the kinds of things that I'm thinking of. It's like creating this space where people are really focused on the art. Okay, So we've covered so far the shared clients, the focus on the art, and now the third topic of the elements of a good strategic alliance have to do with creating long-term relationships. One of the most underestimated kind of ill-conceived or misunderstood topics in business is how long it takes a client to make a significant purchase. Our culture continually seems to kind of push it, okay, well, you know, things happen instantaneously, and you take a pill and you're better, and you win the lottery and you're suddenly a millionaire, and all these people, especially if you've ever looked into the world of marketing and the world of business, there's lots of people out there promoting, saying, hey, you know, you can do this in a minute, you can do it in 90 days, you can fill your practice, you can sell all this stuff very quickly. And what it does is it doesn't really take into account the fact that when somebody makes a significant purchase, it can take a while for that decision to filter through. I know that in my own business, someone can be on my email list, and they may purchase immediately, but more likely it may take them a month or 3 months or 9 months or in some cases 2 years before they become a client, before they even purchase a product. And we sell a certain number of products, so I'm somewhat in the same boat as you guys are, you know, selling a thing instead of selling a service. And so what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to create some way for the strategic alliance partner to be able to send interested people to you, ideally to a website, where they can sign up on a list and be part of a list that you can be in contact with on a regular basis so that you can build a relationship with them over time. You know, a lot of websites out there are basically brochures. They're like galleries. Okay, I've got my artwork up. Take a look. If you want to buy something, you can. But there's rarely an artist's website, a place where you can say, okay, well, put your name in, and I'll send you a little digital representation of my new art once a month so you can just kind of soak it in. Now, you may get a little fearful and say, oh, my goodness, if I'm giving my art away like that, how is it really going to sell? But the truth is that it does. It's like people build up relationships with something, and they say, oh, wow, even though, for instance, my entire book is contained in the articles are mostly contained in the articles that I've written over the last few years, people don't go back and try to find all my articles and string them together to recreate the book. They say, you know what, I'm just going to get the book and have it in my life in a very more convenient, more powerful, more direct form. And the same goes with your artwork. So you're wanting to create the sets of, okay, how can I make it so that there's a channel so that when someone does say, wow, that art really is beautiful, Jennifer, you know, and she says, okay, well, here's the link to the website right in the email, or the massage therapist says, hey, if you like that art that you contemplated at the beginning, I can pass your name on to the artist, and they'll send you a free little digital representation to soak into once a month, you know, and kind of get permission to do that. You can build this up, and you start to build a list of people that you can then, if you do have a show, let's say, you can then let them know about it. If you do have a new art piece of art that you've just completed, you can let them know about it. You can be in communication with them and build up that relationship over time. This is one of the wonders of the Internet. The Internet has basically changed what has been an aberration of communication over the last 80 years in regards to commerce. In the last 80 years or so, what has stood in our way has been this mass media where the relationship and the communication has been one way, from a broadcaster to the people. In fact, even now, I'm teaching to you all on the line, and I can't hear you. You know, you're muted. Ariana graciously said she'd come on early and turn the mute off so I can take some questions. But you know, as human beings, we're much more comfortable interacting with each other. And what has happened is over the last 80 years, it's kind of trained us, as much as we don't like it, it's also gotten us used to the concept of, okay, as business owners, you just kind of put it out there and you hope somebody picks it up. But through, maybe you have a blog, maybe you have an email newsletter, maybe you have an actual mailing list where you send a postcard out once a month or something with a, you know, with a color representation of a piece of art. You can get really inexpensive postcards these days to do that. And you can build a relationship up with people who are interested over time. And those people will, it has been proven, it's been shown, oh, wow, this person's been here. They feel like they're part of my life. They feel like they're in my heart. I'm going to go ahead and purchase this piece of artwork finally. I've been meaning to do it for a while, and I'm now finally ready to do it. So those are the important three elements of a good strategic alliance: the shared clients, the focus on the art, and then creating the long-term relationships. So let me move on to the third topic. How do you approach a strategic alliance? You know, let's say you find somebody who has those three pieces, the shared clients, the will, you know, you could imagine them creating a focus on the art. You could imagine creating long-term relationships and creating a channel for that. You just pick up the phone and contact them. Don't do it. Don't just cold call. You're probably not that excited about cold calling, and it probably doesn't feel that comfortable. And so I'm going to say, honor your instincts, honor your heart. Don't just jump into it. The best way to do strategic alliances is that once you identify somebody who might be a potential strategic alliance partner is to research them a bit. And I don't mean hiring a private investigator and looking under their bed and seeing who they are. I mean just getting a sense of who are they, what is their business, so that you have it in your heart that you want to support them. Your art is going to be a benefit to what they're doing. Can you honestly say that you want to be associated with them? Do you honestly want to support their work in the world? You know, there's many, many people doing wonderful work out there, and, you know, you want to make sure that you're in alignment with them. And so there's different ways to do this. People have websites up. They put out newsletters. They've published articles. You know, you may know somebody who knows them. They may be an organization. Maybe they hold meetings. You know, it's like there's different ways you just kind of get to know their organization a little bit. And maybe it takes a little bit of research to do this, you know. It takes a little bit of time and effort. But then once you know them a little bit, you've signed up on their newsletter, you received it for a few months, you've gone to a meeting, maybe you've just heard some about it, you've read through their website, you go, you know what, I like this place, I like what they're doing, I like what this person is doing, it feels good in my heart, I'd love to see them be more successful, I bet I can see how my art might help, or I can make some guesses about how my art can contribute to what they're doing. Notice the change in my tone. You go from, when you do that research and you find that place of connection, you shift your attitude from, oh, what can I get out of this? How can I get you to help me? Which feels gross, you know, in many ways, to, wow, I really want to help you. Let's figure out a way that I can help you and we can help each other. 99% of problems with marketing have to do with the person who's doing the marketing having a focus on themselves instead of on how they can help. If you can shift your focus from what do I get out of it to how can I help, then your marketing, your reaching out to a strategic alliance partner, for instance, is going to feel so much better. It's going to feel healing. I mean, even if the strategic alliance partner, potential partner, doesn't say yes, even if they say, wow, I don't know if this is something that I want to do, can you imagine how it would feel? I mean, I could imagine how it would feel to have an artist call me up and say, hey, Mark, I love what you're doing. I'd love to see you be even more successful. And I think I have an idea of how that can help, of how I can help with that. I mean, that would be, you know, it just helps the person feels good, as if it's authentic, if it's genuine. I'm hoping that you're getting from me that this all has to be authentic and genuine. If you're doing this from a place of manipulation or a place of, you know, trying to pull one over on somebody or just doing it as a quote-unquote technique without having your heart in it, of course it's going to fail. It's not going to work nearly as well because people are alert to that sense of authenticity and genuineness and heart. So the research, you definitely want to do the research. Other piece, I roamed away from my notes as I teach. So the other piece is like the that's what I wanted to say. Thanks. This piece I was talking about before about the lottery syndrome, about hoping that one big strategic alliance is going to save you, is that you don't want to be thinking that way. We are really kind of taken up in this culture with lottery syndrome. You know, it's like if I win the lottery, I'll be saved. The knight on the white horse is going to come and sweep me away. I'm going to find the perfect strategic alliance partner who will promote me to thousands of their customers, and I'll never have to do marketing again. You know, this isn't really what we want to do. We want to do as many little things as possible. I'm always inspired by the words of Mother Teresa, who said, you know, we can't do any great thing. No one can do great things. We can only do small things with great love. And that's what I find, is that strategic alliances are most powerful when you have a number of them going on and you have them, maybe you've picked 4 or 5 different people or organizations to do a little bit of research on throughout the month, and maybe you've narrowed it down to 2 or 3 people that you could approach, and maybe one of them agrees to be a strategic alliance partner. And maybe you do this month after month after month after month after month, and after a year, after 18 months, you suddenly have a dozen, you have 20, you have 25 strategic alliance partners who are each promoting your art in front of their own little communities, their own clientele. And what that does is it continues to escalate and it continues to accelerate over time as you build those relationships up. And it can cascade in a really beautiful way. So we've covered these 3 elements of how to approach it. Is you want to do the research. You want to approach from a place of really wanting to support them. You want to pick up the phone and talk to them from that place of really being in your heart and having a conversation with them to discover how this could work and if they want to do it. And you want to do a number of them so that you're not so focused on one being the big lottery that's going to save you, but instead you have all of these moving along and you're adding to them one by one by one, month after month after month, so that it can grow and cascade and be an incredibly rich and bountiful way of marketing your business and getting yourself out there. So basically, to highlight everything that I've gone over so far, remember, first of all, that a strategic alliance is about helping another business or community's members with your art. It's not about referring back and forth. It's about your art being the focus and the benefit to the strategic alliance partner. Remember that an ideal strategic alliance has 3 elements: shared client, a focus on the art, and a channel to create long-term relationships with people who are interested. If one of those elements is missing, particularly the one around focus on art, it can still work, such as with a cafe or the restaurant example, but it works ideally well if the art can actually be a focus. And then the third one is how to approach the strategic alliances. First, as you identify potential ones, research them, find out about them so that you can make that shift in your heart towards looking at them as a way of wanting to support them rather than trying to take from them. you're wanting to pick up the phone and have conversations with them, email is great, but in this case you want to make that person-to-person contact, and you want to do many of them. You want to continually have a steady stream of a handful month after month after month to build up. And basically, I've come to the end. This is the elements, the basics of a strategic alliance. I want to say that, like I said before, if I had to let go of all the different marketing methods that we do in our business to accelerate it, and I had to start over from scratch, from ground zero, and only use one method, this is the method I'd use, because it is so powerful and because it's got that human heart connection that is just, I don't know, it's just so touching and so powerful. So that's where you'll leave it. I'd love to take questions. Ariana, if you want to open
I'm here.
One. Yep, great.
Well, I'm going to, somebody's emailed a question, and I'm going to give that one to you first.
Okay.
I'm going to preface it with a tiny bit of art world history. There's an entire hierarchy in certain areas of the art world. And artists who are craving what I would call top-tier recognition, they worry that moving in what's perceived as lower-tier venues will diminish their opportunities and chances to climb that ladder of success. And this question, it fits exactly in that category.
Mm-hmm.
This artist writes, "I am a bronze and cast stone sculptor. I had the opportunity to have pieces in display at a nice hairdresser salon. In one sense, I have captive viewer during the time of the haircut. On the other end, isn't it degrading the value of what I am doing?"
Wow. I think from my perspective, I guess it depends on how you perceive a hairdresser. You know? I mean, for me, if you have like a random hairdresser who's somebody that, like I was saying before, that the power of a strategic alliance is feeling an alliance with them. I think if you knew the person who did my hair, her name is Paula. She's here in Portland. She's incredible. I don't know if she even has space on her schedule at this point, but she's just got such an open, generous heart, and she's so good at what she does that I can't imagine anyone being demeaned by having their art in that kind of an arena. I guess for me, my perspective has also to do with, you know, if you're going for recognition, this, I think, is a different, how do I want to talk about this? Let me take a moment with this, because I have a very different perspective.
Perhaps this will help, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I work with artists on a one-to-one basis, one of the things that we do is identify what it is their heart really wants in relationship to their art,
mm-hmm.
what success really actually means to them at a core level.
Right.
And feeling recognized by those peer groups and people that are viewed in the know of the art world, from my perspective, is a perfectly legitimate place for someone to feel they want to be. But it means that their career path is going to be very specific. And they have to be very specific about what they're doing and why, and not get it confused with other elements.
Well, the other piece that I think needs to be added in here is that the world is changing. I don't know the particulars of that aspect of the art world, Ariana, so there might be things that I'm ignorant of. But what I do know is that everywhere in the world that I've looked, there has been a complete turnaround between people on top and people on the bottom. You know,
absolutely agree.
So you see these things where, like, for instance, it used to be, you know, like if you were a reporter, you know, you want to work for the Washington Post, or you want to work for the New York Times, or you want to work for, you know, these big name media names that had that kind of prestige with them. But what's happened is that there's, over the last decades, they've lost so much of their prestige that now we have bloggers who have started from the bottom up using very similar techniques to what I've just talked about in terms of strategic alliances to build reputations that have gotten them White House press credentials. And so I think that if this can still be a very, very powerful way to achieve even those kinds of goals, if you understand how the world is changing towards this kind of person-to-person communication and away from kind of top-down mass consumerism.
And I totally agree with you. I think it's a new world, and I think that hierarchy in the art world is very much a dinosaur. It's going to take it a while to roll over on its belly and let us scratch it, but it's there. But the thing that I'm thinking about, I'm looking at this nice hairdresser salon, and I'm thinking, so there's this beautiful piece of sculpture, and who comes in to have their hair done?
Right.
But the wife of somebody in the community who's extremely wealthy and has just happened to be looking for a piece of gorgeous bronze abstract feminine work for her living room.
Exactly.
You know, you would lose out on that opportunity because you're worried about some artificially inflated elite perspective.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know.
And I think this is a great.
So I didn't want to insult the art establishment, but that's my same perspective. Exactly.
And I think people worry about this because they know that art, to some degree, depends upon a reputation.
Well, all business depends on a reputation. All business depends on a reputation, but a reputation for what? A reputation for presence? Reputation for beauty? I mean, my understanding of the human heart and the human spiritual presence, as well as your artwork, as well as anybody's business, is that think not of, like, if it demeaning your artwork, but how amazingly your artwork could elevate that salon, and how
very different perspective,
and how that reflects on the beauty and the power of the work that you do.
Right, I love this because I think it's a juicy, controversial subject, and I don't. I think elitism comes with a lot of heaviness attached to it, but I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. So I would love to hear artists jump on the SmartWorks 2008 forum and. Toss this one around for a while because I think it's really got a lot of juice in it. All right, Mark, let's open up the lines and see if there's any questions before we sign off here. Hang on, everybody.
Hello.
Okay, the lines are open.
Hi.
Do we have? Hang on a minute. If you have a question, please say your name first. And then if I acknowledge your name, you will know, A, we can hear you, and, B, you're the one to be listened to now. All right, on your mark, get set, go.
It's Vanessa.
Carol.
Hey, Vanessa, what question do you have for Mark?
My question is, I do a lot of hand-painted jackets, and I am totally in sync with your concept of strategic alliances. I'm really trying to figure out how I would even begin to look at a partnership given that I'm not doing fine art.
That's an interesting question. Well, I think it does require some creative thinking, doesn't it? I think that you want to start to look at, first of all, you know, who are the clients? I mean, kind of going back to that basic, like, what kind of an effect do you have? You know, do you want that to have for people? You know, how do your jackets affect the people who buy them? And then finding places where do those kinds of people go? What are the kinds of activities they do? Who are the kinds of practitioners that they see? And I'm wondering even if you could have somebody, you know, either wear one of your jackets, or if even one of your jackets could be on display to bring that sense into the environment. I mean, I think it does take some creativity with it, but it does. I don't see any barriers to that if you're willing to play with it a little bit.
Right. Thank you so much for that. And even the fact that you said, "What practitioners do they see?" actually opened up a place for me that I hadn't even thought about.
Mm.
So it's kind of like a who, what, why, when, where idea that I'd want to bring to thinking about it.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I just want to piggyback off that and add, I love what Mark said, who could wear one? So somebody could be wearing one of that and be like your walking advertising billboard. And, of course, have business cards to hand people.
Right.
Okay, Carol, I heard you speak up earlier.
Yes, hello. I think his ideas are wonderful, and I'd like to hear if you'd be willing to share how he shifted, what was his business, and how he defined it, and how he shifted it to using a strategic alliance, and what was his first strategic alliance?
Wow. Well, that's a great question.
Mark, I'm going to just have to tell you it's 2:30, so we're going over. We have some space here, but just think of condensing answers.
Got it. I can't remember who my first strategic alliance was because I think I was doing it somewhat naturally. But what I've noticed is that a lot of our strategic alliances tend to be our clients, because our clients like us so much that they'll maybe hand articles around to their clients. The biggest strategic alliance I did was one of my colleagues, Robert Middleton, whom I had gotten to know over some period of time. I'd been a client of his, was going on vacation, and he needed a guest author. And so he published my article to his list, and his list was much larger than mine, and I got hundreds of subscribers in one day.
Okay, there you go. And I heard a gentleman's voice. Would you like to speak up again?
Oh, maybe it was me, Christian Winslow.
Christian, do you have a question?
I was just following up from the original question that was asked by the sculptor, which was addressed actually in one of the something yesterday, is that it's easy to do pseudonyms. You know, if you're going for a broader market and you're worried about the high end of the fine art world, of the art world, it's very simple to create a pseudonym. And that's all I had to. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, what you're pointing out is that artists have, of all stripes, writers have done this too. There are writers
exactly.
who have written very, very literate novels and then have turned around and written what people would call trashy stuff on the side for fun, and they put a pseudonym to it. That's one way of approaching it.
That's one way of approaching it. And actually what Mark said is that, looking at it as a way to sort of enhance the environment of the strategic partner is, even for a broader market is the way to look at it, and that is what we're doing. That's what we're doing anyway. We're very cynical about the museum and art world anyway. So let's face it.
So that's why you're here at Smartest.
Yes,
I know.
Yeah,
is there? We can take one more question. If there's anybody who has one.
Hi, this is Fabienne. Actually, I'm the. Can you hear me?
Yes, Fabienne, we certainly can.
Okay, I'm the sculptor who wrote this email, and I wanted to thank everybody for all the answer and the input. It was very helpful. And the US Alan I was talking, the addresser is actually an artist by herself in the way she takes care of her client. That's why I was thinking about putting my art there. It was very comforting to see that people are more open-minded than what I thought, actually.
Mark really hit the nail on the head. It is a new world, and it's really important that we catch up. Okay, I'm going to put us back on global mute. Hang on. Just to let everybody know that you have only you don't have 15 minutes left anymore for your break. So let's take the break now, and we'll come back for our second guest, Alita DeWall. Mark, I want to thank you so much for today. Your presentation opened many windows into our hearts, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.